I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawk fans, and welcome into Hawks Talk here on iTunes and CSN. As always, I'm your host, Joel Gunderson. Well, Lambeau Field, mid-December, when the Packers are in the midst of a do-or-die playoff chase, apparently not an ideal time for a West Coast team to try and go out and steal a win. And when you put the temperature at less than 25 degrees as it was at kickoff time with snow blowing all day long, and you throw in the worst performance of Russell Wilson's career, you have what Seattle had on Sunday, an eye-opening, deflating, momentum-halting 38-10 loss to the Green Bay Packers. Now, the good news, they're fine. At 8-4-1 on the year, they've locked up the NFC West, thanks in part to another loss by the Arizona Cardinals, by the Rams, and by the 49ers. So they're being ballyhooed by the NFC West, which is just flat-out terrible. The bad news is, Green Bay is the last playoff-caliber team they're going to play this season, and the Seahawks have myriad of concerns going forward. There's not much to discuss from last night from an X's and O's standpoint. Seattle's offensive line, they couldn't block. The receivers were dreadful. Three passes bounced out of their hands or off their face mask for interceptions. The defense was then forced back on the field for a quick change of possession. They were susceptible to deep throws all game long. Aaron Rodgers was scrambling. He looked like he's back to his old self. And pretty much whatever the Packers wanted to do offensively, they could. Now, it wasn't a total onslaught of Packer offense, but again, so many change of possessions in last night's game. Six turnovers total for Seattle that the Packers really controlled it from the outset. They scored on the third play of the game, a 66-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams, and after that, it was pretty much the tone set for how the rest of this was going to go. The biggest takeaway from yesterday had to be the performance of the offensive line, which, for the most part, in the past few weeks, have been showing tangible signs of improvement. Over their past five games, Seattle had the sixth best run game in the NFL, and if you would have told us that at the beginning of the season, we would have thought you were crazy. But yesterday, against a defensive line that's pretty indicative of the ones they're going to face in the playoffs, that same run game that had been building for the past few weeks was non-existent. The stats are going to be a bit misleading because some of the early game successes they had from Thomas Rawls, who finished the game with 67 yards on 12 carries. We're going to talk about Rawls a little bit later on here in the show because what he showed early on, I think, is a real bright spot for Seattle, one of the very few that they had yesterday. But they did no favors for Wilson, the offensive line, who was sacked three times. He was hurried all game long. Many throws after he threw it, he was blown up after as soon as he let the ball go. But he has to be panicking a little bit at the thought of what he's in for come playoff time. He finished with five interceptions on the day, but I said a lot of those were not his fault. They were the fault of the receiver. But the throws were a touch off target a lot of the times. And it was a byproduct of the constant pressure that Wilson was under. He was never able to set his feet, throw the ball where he wanted. Most of those interceptions, the ball either hit the receiver in the face mask or just off the top of the fingertips, the ball was thrown too high. This game was essentially over on the first series of the game when, like I said, Rodgers hit Davante Adams that long touchdown. Because although it was only 7-0, you could instantaneously see that Green Bay was coming for the knockout, and Seattle was not prepared for it. It was 21-3 at the half, and essentially at that point it was over. Seattle couldn't muster any offensive flow. They couldn't sustain any drives. And any time they did get a first down or got two first downs and looked like they might have some momentum building, inevitably they would have an interception. It was one of those nights where Seattle were the best lesson to go from this game might simply be to just flush the game film and move on, because they can watch to see where they were outperformed schematically, but I don't think that was really the big issue. I'm not so sure they'll learn so much from it, because in sports, as we know, sometimes these games just happen. Sometimes a team just doesn't have it. And I think that was the case for Seattle last night. They're not as bad as they were yesterday by any stretch of the imagination. Remember, This is a team that a few weeks back went into New England and won. The same New England team that's running roughshod over the AFC. And that's far enough back that when they went into New England, the offensive line was not as good back then as they had been heading into yesterday. So they weren't, you know, they won in New England with a running game and a Olay offensive line back then. So I still think they can be that team because they have improved in those areas. Last night was just a different animal, and those happen. It's their ability to move on, send that game film out to the garbage, and bounce back this week against Los Angeles. That will be a bigger test to me to see who they really are. Now, is last night concerning? Yes, to an extent it has to be. But I don't think it's time to hit the panic button just yet. Because this could have also just been the perfect storm for the Packers, who are now rolling. They've won three in a row after their 4-6 start. This was still Aaron Rodgers. It's still a tough Packers defense. And their season was on the line last night. Make no mistake about it. One more loss and they're done, essentially. For all intents and purposes, they cannot lose another game. Seattle doesn't have that urgency, which is something I've talked about for a few weeks now. At some point, when it's no longer a must-win situation, you're going to start to slip mentally. And I think that's where Seattle's at. Last week, Carolina. Not a good team this year, but bounced them out of the playoffs last year. Went to the Super Bowl. Seattle was up for it. We saw what happened. They blew them off the field. And I wouldn't mind the mental slips, and I don't think Seattle fans or players or coaches should be worried if yesterday were week 16, for example. If it was this coming up week was the finale, and then they were rolling into the playoffs, you can look at it as a one-game slip. It's no biggie. But it wasn't. There's still three games remaining, and that's way too long for them to play without a sense of urgency. There's no way they would be able to flip the switch after nearly a month of nonchalant play if they play out the string the way they did yesterday. Now, perhaps the recipe for that, to bounce back for Seattle, is that they do have a short week. They play on Thursday night this week against Los Angeles, who's already beaten them once this year. It was that horrible 9-3 game in the second week of the season. Now, after this game last night, Russell Wilson did talk about the need to push their game from their minds and regroup.
You talk about first interception. Just describe the play.
There's too many in there. We don't have to talk about each play, but I just think we have to play better. Obviously, we can't turn the ball over. And I put that on me. That game was on me. And the great thing is we play next week, and we play Thursday, and that's the thing we look forward to. So that's really our only focus right now. And it probably would be even if we won. So, just because when you play those Thursday night games, you have to move on.
Russell, on a couple of those incompletions early on, it seems like you had opportunities. Were those just missed throws, or what's the explanation there?
Yeah, like I said, just on me. So we'll get better. Next week. We play Thursday night. That's our sole focus right now.
How surprising is a loss like this? I mean, given how you played Sunday and the way the offense was coming around, and then
I mean, obviously we always prepare. I thought we were really prepared. Actually, I thought that we had the right things. We had opportunities and we missed them, and we just didn't hit them for whatever reason. And so, I think that it's not surprising though, because when you turn the ball over, against a good football team, they have a chance to win. Obviously, so. We had a chance there, even with crazy it was. We had a chance there when it was 31-10, we felt like. And then another little fluke play happened. So it was just unfortunate. They played a great game. You have to give the Packers credit. They're a good football team, and you have to give them credit.
A couple of your tough games have been against the Packers. What's it about them and playing against them that makes it a little difficult, I guess?
Like I said, they're a good football team. You just move on. Every game you just play, every game is a new game. Unfortunately, it wasn't our best night tonight, but we get ready for next week.
How concerning is this, or is it something you can get through?
Well, we never base anything off the past, good or bad or indifferent. We just base it on right now and just continue to prepare. We got the right guys in the locker room. We got the right coaches. We got the right players. We believe, we've had a great season so far. We just want to keep going, play one game at a time. Fortunately, we came here and had a tough loss. They played way better than we did, and so we've moved on to the next game.
You said it was specifically was going wrong, do you think?
Well, anytime I turn the ball over, I hate that, as you guys know. And so we just want to just move on, you know, and keep swinging. We have to, and that's the best option for us, and that's our focus right now. Next week we play a Rams football team. It's very, very good and coached well, and they always play us tough. So we're looking forward to that game. We go back to home to our fans, and we believe that we can turn it around and get our mindset right and continue to play great football.
What do you need to do to find some consistency offensively? Just the last 3 weeks has sort of been up and down a little bit.
Well, like I said, I think it comes down to us making plays. And like I said, I always put it on myself, just because I just believe that we're going to find a way, you know. And I would never want to put it on anybody else, just because I think that we have a great chance to do a lot of great things. And when we had that, we showed that last week. Unfortunately, we had some plays tonight. We didn't hit them tonight. The ball bounced their way. But hopefully this week we can go back home and make those and have a great week of practice and then have a great game on Thursday night.
Wilson had a great point in there, and I'm glad it's something he mentioned. He said even when the game was 31-10 and in reality it was over, as an observer you would not have been shocked had Seattle mounted a comeback, and part of that's because of the history of these two teams. Remember the playoff game a couple years ago, Seattle was down 16-0 at halftime, came back and won. But again, Wilson's five turnovers directly led to this defeat. Because even in handing the Packers that many extra possessions, it's not as if the Seahawks were blown out of the building. And maybe that's something they can take away. The odds of them playing as bad as they did last night are slim. More specifically, the odds of the sequence of events of Wilson having five turnovers, the receivers being completely incapable of even catching the ball, the odds of those happening again on the same game specifically are so slim. And if they can play mostly mistake-free football, which they usually do, that's a calling card of this team. They don't turn the ball over that much. You have to think that type of performance can be avoided again, especially in the playoffs. Head coach Pete Carroll, he took the podium as well after the game.
Well, this was a great night for the Packers. They played great football tonight. They couldn't have looked better on offense, and to take the ball away from us like that, that's a great job by them. And I wish I could tell you otherwise, but they played great tonight, and we couldn't get anything going. So it was a very difficult night for us throughout. I think probably we're going to be really disappointed in rushing the passer, obviously, because he was back there all night long, and then Aaron did what he does so well. He moved beautifully and found guys and made it look easy. And it was very, very frustrating to just watch him have so much ease in throwing and completing balls on us. This is such a rare occurrence that for our team, we've been playing for a lot of years and not seen a game like this. So it's just something at this time, we have to push behind us and get going. We got Thursday coming up. Everybody in that locker room is glad we're playing Thursday, and we're gonna respond to go take care of business and get going here in the last three games of the year. I ain't got much for you. It's a miserable night.
Since 2011, since a big loss, it was a different feeling with those guys. Just a lot of them have never been through that.
Yeah, it's a different feeling for all of us. I mean, we don't remember those days. I mean, how many years ago was that? We've had a remarkable run. It's something it's kind of stat that you really don't want to be proud of, but it is. It's a remarkable run, and it's because of those guys in that room fighting and clawing and scratching and play so good for so long. And so this was a night that just seemed so out of character that we need to move on as quickly as we can. And fortunately, it's Thursday night.
Can you put your finger on the pass rush, what the issues were with that?
We didn't rush the passer very well. We were nowhere near him.
Balls went off receivers' hands. What the heck was going on with Russell's throw?
He had a hard time tonight. He missed a couple balls deep that he usually hits. I think he missed Doug, missed Jimmy, and those would have been great opportunities for us early in the game where we would have been able to hang with him and stay with it, and it could have been entirely different. The thing just snowballed on him and on us, and it just turned out to be a terrible night.
He sort of echoed what Wilson said. This was not a normal Seahawks performance. Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse aren't normally going to have balls hit their face masks and bounce into the hands of defenders. It was almost a comedy of errors in the second half, and you have to believe that the law of averages is going to catch up, and that's not going to happen again. And if it does, well, then you kind of just have to throw your hands up in the air and say, maybe this is just not meant to be, but I don't think that's going to be the case. With that, here are three things that I learned after the Packers' 38-10 win. One, if Green Bay does make the playoffs, and it's not a sure thing, they got a lot to overcome, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team, one that no one's going to want to see. Forget their 4-6 start to the season and Aaron Rodgers' struggles. This team is back to where most pundits thought they would be, NFC North favorites. As long as Aaron Rodgers is upright, and he did injure his calf on the first touchdown pass of the game, he stayed in. He did leave about halfway through the fourth quarter when the game was out of reach, but that would be something to watch. But if he's upright, the Packers have a chance, no matter who they're playing. And if their defense plays like it did last night when they held holding Seattle to 10 points, they're going to be almost impossible to beat because that offense, when they're clicking, is so good. They're easily a top two or three offense in the NFL. And if they can even just have a top 10 defense, they're going to be dynamite. Now, I'd say the concerning part, if you're Green Bay, Seattle did outgain them. They had more plays. They were more efficient on third down. They had the ball longer. It was the six turnovers that were the killers. And as a defense, you cannot rely on getting that many turnovers per game. Now, you can hopefully count on one or two if you're an opportunistic defense. You know, every week Alabama goes out and plays somebody, they know they're going to get two or three interceptions. They're probably going to score a touchdown. In the NFL, it's not quite the same thing. You're not guaranteed to get three or four turnovers per game, but, you know, one or two, but six, it took six for this game to happen the way it did. Now, if they'd only had two interceptions, would Seattle have been able to capitalize and score more points? We don't know. You'd have to think that maybe they would have. The game might have been a little bit closer at that point, but again, give credit to Green Bay's defense. It wasn't all just Seattle giving them the ball. They had to be in the right spots to capitalize on those turnovers, and they did. Number two, he's not the bell cow that Marshawn Lynch was, but man, Thomas Rawls runs so hard and with so much authority. And I'm not sure, despite an offensive line that's still super inconsistent, that Seattle's best game plan isn't still to be a run-dominant team. It's hard with all the skill position talent they have, and with Wilson having taken another step this year, you don't want to necessarily take the ball out of his hands. But when Rawls gets going, he's so hard to bring down. The problem is, so far, Seattle doesn't seem to ride him early enough in games. First possession yesterday, he had the ball and was moving. They got a field goal. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, has been, in my opinion, too quick to go away from the run game and put the ball back in Wilson's hand. And again, I understand it. It's hard to keep the ball away from him. But I'd love to see Bevel, especially in those final three games as they're trying to set the tone for the playoffs, see what the running game can do when they are the focus. Now, they're not going to be facing the steel curtain of defenses coming up. San Francisco is terrible. Los Angeles is terrible. Arizona's terrible. So you can look at it one of two ways. It's not going to be a true test of what they're going to be facing in the playoffs, or it's a really good opportunity for that offensive line and Rawls to get a lot of momentum and get some confidence heading into the playoffs. I still think if Seattle's a 60-40 running team and that 60% running is effective, that is a better play for them than being 60-40 the other way with Wilson having the ball that much. As we saw yesterday, when you're throwing the ball that much, too many silly things can happen. Number three, game one in the life after Earl Thomas era was not great. Stephen Terrell, who stepped in for Thomas, didn't play bad. Had three tackles on the night, got burned a couple times, but pretty much everybody in the secondary did. As a unit, though, as a secondary as a whole, they really struggled with the field conditions. They were slipping all over the place. It wasn't just the secondary. The linebackers were having a lot of trouble. KJ Wright got beat a couple times in the first quarter, and one of them was for a touchdown. He was really having a lot of problems. They seemed to be confused on a couple of Green Bay's out routes and some of their deep over the middle throws, and that's where you're going to struggle early on as you're replacing Thomas. It's a good thing there's still three games remaining for Terrell in the secondary to get on the same page, because they're not there yet, and that's where they're going to have to really, because there is an opportunity and there's a chance that these two teams can meet in either the first or the second round. And if Green Bay knows where they can exploit based on what they did yesterday, they're going to do it. So three games remaining, very, very important for this defense and the secondary especially to get on the same page. Looks like they're going to need all three games to get there, though. Well, Seattle, like I said, gets right back to it on Thursday night. The Rams come into town. The Seahawks will clearly have revenge on their minds. That week 2, 9-3 loss, it was, again, it was another situation, another perfect storm that they walked into. It was the first game back in Los Angeles in however many years it's been, 20 years. Los Angeles didn't play well, but Seattle's offense was atrocious. Didn't even make the trip down to Los Angeles, so you know they're going to be looking to get back on track. Both teams are going to be looking to bounce back. Los Angeles was embarrassed yesterday, 42-14 at home by Atlanta. They're done. They're 4-9. They're not going anywhere. They're simply playing out the string at this point. And you have to like Seattle's chances because maybe Seattle doesn't have a ton to play for right now because they're pretty much going to be locked into wherever they're going. I mean, they still need to get wins. They haven't settled anything, but they know they're in the playoffs. They know they're going to be a top 2 or 3 seed in all likelihood. So they're kind of in that weird spot of we don't necessarily know what we're playing for. We don't want to go out and get hurt, but we also don't want to take too much time off. Los Angeles is just done. This year has been an absolute train wreck for a team that a lot of people thought had a chance to, if not contend with Seattle, be a wild card team for sure. Defensively, they were supposed to be a lot better than they've been. And I think there was a lot of people that just assumed at this point of the year, Jared Goff would have stepped in. They're the number one overall pick and have led them to the playoffs. Well, he didn't even get in until a few weeks ago, and he has been... He looks as lost as you would expect a first-year quarterback to be, a guy who only played 3 years in Cal, didn't run anything closely assembling a pro-style offense in college. He looks like he's going to take 2 or 3 years at minimum to become an NFL quarterback. So really been a disappointing year all the way around for the Rams. So you have to wonder at this point on Thursday night, especially on a short week, are they going to have bring anything to the table? Something tells me that this one's going to be a big-time Seattle role because I think they realize if they don't show up, games like yesterday happen, and they cannot do that again. Even if they showed up like that on Thursday, they'd probably get the win just because Los Angeles is Los Angeles, but they don't want to do that. And I don't think Pete Carroll will let them come back 2 games in a row with that kind of performance. I'll be back next Friday. We'll recap it all. Hopefully we have some better news to report, and or at least a few more touchdowns, because after the last game, was not a fun one to talk about. So thanks as always for listening. Again, Joel Gunderson, this is Hawks Talk on CSN.